God we serve. If I could sing, I'd sing y'all a song, but I will not bore you with that. Someone always gonna try to boost me up. And y'all did that to my wife one time, but you ain't gonna get me. Hallelujah. This morning, this is Palm Sunday, what we call Palm Sunday. And beautiful bulletins, and that's what I want to talk about today. I want to speak to you from this message entitled, I Cried Hosanna. Not only the disciples of God cried out Hosanna, but I did too. Not only did I cry out Hosanna, Roni, over 30-some years ago, I cry out daily for deliverance. You see, the word has the idea of save now. There are some things that come our way to harm us. Sometimes it may come in the form of sickness. Don't come in the form of sickness. It may come in the form of economical downfall. Your money is funny. Your money ain't right. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Don't always come in the same form. Anxiety. You see, many people commit suicide because of this anxiety. Fears. And whatever comes to harm us. But I got news for you this morning. We serve a mighty God. Look at your neighbor. Say, no matter what come, and it's true, these things come. It's a part of life. But also what we know is that God is above all and all. Say, neighbor, my God is above all and all. And guess what? He is my God. You know, it wouldn't do me too much good to talk about how God is above all, and then he's your God. And I cannot claim him personally. No. Whether you claim him or not, I claim him as my God. Let's look at the word of God in Matthew 21 so I can get to where I want to go. But I want to, Matthew 21, about 1 through 9. It says, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied to a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. They cried, Hosanna, when he was approaching Jerusalem, going into Jerusalem. Save now. And we know the story. They were looking for a king that will deliver them from the Roman rule over them. And they didn't receive him. And if you look with me over in the book of Luke, you see some of the same things here in the book of Luke chapter 19. But what I want to look at, I want to highlight verse 37 of the book of Luke 19. They kind of like parallel one another, but it's a little bit more in one gospel than others pertaining to his triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. But I want to highlight 37 and where I want to speak from. It says, Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. I want you to highlight the mighty works they had seen. I know all this is familiar, but we want to go and just dissect it and just look at some things and bring out. You see, if this part was not written in this gospel, you wouldn't have known really why they were praising him. But as you read further, it says, Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Verse 39. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. And then we know the story. He wept over Jerusalem because they didn't receive their Messiah. And he told them about how Titus would come in and destroy the city. Now the stone would be left upon a stone. He goes on, if you read the whole thing. But that's not what I want to do. But you can read on and you can get all that information. But what I want to look at, like say in 37, they were praising him for the works that the disciples had seen. They had seen him raise the dead. They had seen him feed thousands of people. They've seen him heal folk. My questions today, not so much of the Palm Sunday scriptures here, but this part here, what have you seen? See, I want to make it personal. What have you seen or have you not seen? What is it that caused you to praise him? Or what is it that caused you to be silent? You see, here, the word of God said, because what they had seen, what they had witnessed, what they could testify of Jesus, it motivated them, it moved them, it caused them. It activated something in them. What they saw, what they witnessed, activate a praise within him. Now, I want to ask you just for a moment, if you could Selah over your life, can't nobody else Selah, stop and meditate on where you've been, where you came from, and how you got over. Can't nobody do that but you. Nobody can. You can tell your story, but you can't tell Rick's story. Rick's got to tell it. But I want to highlight this part of this whole familiar passage. Because of the great work, the works that God does in your life, do you ascribe greatness to it? Do you call it great? Or what are you? Oh, well, it's just something that happens. But the Bible said it was great words. Can you stop and go back this year? This is a fairly new year, isn't it? Isn't it? How many months? Y'all help pastor. Have God done anything for you in this 4 months? Anything? My question though, have you seen? So I'm not talking about Lottie and Dottie and everybody. I'm talking about you. See now, you still see that? Have you done anything? What did you call it? Did you call it awesome? Another word, wonderful. What else would you call it? Now, you're not fooling me, are you? You really have a testimony, don't you? You're not tricking me up here. See, I'm going to tell you something. When God delivers you, He wants you to see His deliverance. You remember when Moses was at the Red Sea? He had a situation and Pharaoh behind him. He said, stand still. This ain't your fight. And see the deliverance of the Lord. Well, God, why can't you just deliver me? Why do I have to see it? Just deliver me. He said, you don't understand. You need to grow a little bit in your faith. You don't understand. I want to let you see what I can do for you. I want you to see a little bit of my greatness. And I wanted to compel you to praise me because you love me. Because what I'm doing is not for myself, but for you. Because I so love you. I cry. It's all right for these folk cry. Love to read it. But I looked at that thing, knew what the meaning of the word was, and it's used now as a praise word, saved now, and we know Christ was fulfilling the messianic prophecy of Zechariah. We understand all those things. But you know, sometimes we need to see. Lord, you say these things was written for my learning. So since it was written, Sister Boone, for my learning, I want to learn something today from what was written for my learning. Anybody with me? There's always going to be somebody who don't know your story, who don't know how deep down in the miry clay that God had to go to get you. Because some things you just don't tell everybody. Am I right about it? But you and God know. And it was a great day and a great work over 30-some years ago, what he did for me. You know, I had wrote in my outline, me. Because I can talk about what it did for me. And I can share some things you may not know. But then I crossed it out. I left the me there. And I said, us. But I want to show you from the Word of God just a little bit of what God has done for me. So no imp in hell, no demon in hell, no sophisticated person who don't know my story, don't know Christ's story, gonna tell me to shut my mouth. See, you say that in ignorance. You say that because you're unlearned. You say that you're unexperienced or you're arrogant. You say, what you mean? If he have done all these things for you and you don't consider them great and you keep silent, Jesus said, well, the rocks will cry out. No rock gonna cry out for me. But you see, here's the thing. Satan realized because we are so considerate about other folk, we would always seem like we would hide Christ, be ashamed of him when the pressure is on. You know, it's convenient in here, but out there, I drink, I do my thing, I curse, I church is just a ritual thing, and I come when I want to. You do all that kind of funny stuff. You do that because isn't that you don't see what he do for you? Your job. You ain't just getting that job. God opened up some doors for you. He opened up doors nobody could keep closed. It was God. It was a great work. You need to say it. Don't even give the impression you did that by your lonesome. If folk don't know, tell it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, I can feel the pressure even to do that when you know I'm telling the truth. It's pressure. People pressure on you to do this. And it's, tell them shut up. I think some of us heard those Pharisees. We call them modern day Pharisees in our day. And we obeyed them. We shut up. Even when I know stuff you don't tell people what God did for you. Shut up. I like this. Jesus said, my mighty works was not hid in a corner, nor was a veil over him. These folks saw this. See, there are some things his disciples see. And I think it was Tony Evans today I heard this morning. I believe it was him that said, some folk are not followers of Christ. They're just fans of his. I'm just a fan of Christ. Oh, yeah, I know Christ, but you're not a follower. I don't want to be a fan. I want to be a follower. Because God said, mimic Christ. So when Christ speak out, Christ said, look, I want the praise. I deserve the praise. And I'm going to get it if I got to get it from an object that has no life. You know, do you know what he was saying about the rock? So a rock doesn't have no life. But you know what he was willing to do? If those who have seen his mighty works, those who he have blessed in a mighty way. He said, I would put life in a lifeless object. I would put vocal cords in a lifeless object that it could sound off my praises because my ears need to hear praises. God, you ain't got to say no more to me. Like my mother used to say, I don't have to eat a whole cow before I know I'm eating beef. No. I heard you, Jesus. I ain't got to eat up. Just give me a little bit. I got it. My sons, they are good with this. They say, Daddy, you so instructional. Just tell us. But you got the boop, boop, boop. Sometimes somebody asks me a question, and I'm just, you're so instructional. And I'm not even talking to them. They walk by. We're home. I'm talking to my wife. She asked me a question, and I'm sharing with her what to do. Last walk by, there you go again. I guess that's my dad is in it. If you ask him a question, he's going to explain it. He's going to make it clear, plain. Let me. It's somewhere in the Old Testament, make it plain. Make it where they can understand it. See, if we understand that Christ said, I want my praise. So anybody telling you be silent, Ronan, don't listen. Listen to the word. And when the words come out of Christ's mouth, you make those other folk subordinate. Then John said, I must decrease. But Christ must what? Increase. So if y'all don't hear pastor, let me just decrease. But when I preach Christ, you heard that. You keep him lifted up. Because he's still trying to draw all men unto itself. So let me tell you my story. So I haven't even got to the story yet. Y'all so good to me. The first thing, while I praise him, while I'm not going to let those folks shut me up, Christ put a stop to my running. See, we were like sheep going astray. But I want to show you something. You in Luke 19? Are you there? Your Bible still open there? Go to verse 10. See, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Dave, as a lost sheep, I'm just running, going here and there. But my Bible says Jesus came for me. He chased after me. You see, people say I'm chasing after God. I understand where you're going with that. But here's someone, he came seeking, looking for me. And guess what? At the age of 30, he stopped me in my tracks at the Navy Air Station. He caught up with me. He sought me. He brought me. He saved me. I was running away. He caught me. Say, I got something for you, boy. Where you going? I don't know. I'm just doing what I normally do. He said, turn around. But I got... Turn around. Can I speak with you a moment? But I'm doing what I normally do. Can I get to you? Say, just give me a minute with you. But I got this same stuff. I'm having a good time. Lord, he stopped me. And for a moment I stopped. I turned around and I listened. See, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is still speaking to the church, but are we listening? Are we hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to the church? I stopped and I heard the most beautiful word. I heard that all that sin you have done, don't you know I can declare you innocent? I can declare you righteous. Do you know that, son? Past, present, and future sin. Well, why do you want to do that? I came looking for you. I came seeking you. So watch this. Some folk will seek you to do you harm. You owe them some money. You got that dope money wrong? You heard the story the brothers told us about how he like to got killed?
That's right.
And say, for y'all who know his mama, don't tell on him. He told it right in the open. Am I right about it? Those folk were seeking to kill him. But God, y'all about to start telling it. See, sometimes your telling it is your testimony. See, it ain't all about you. God got some more he's chasing after, and he ain't caught up with you. But he caught me 30 years ago. And I'm amazed. Look where I'm at now. Look at me, y'all. He caught me. Had no idea you're going to be preaching to other people. You're going to tell other people one day, Rich, how I caught you, how I went after you, how I had a desire to save you. And you're going to stand there day after day, year after year, Sunday after Sunday. You're going to keep proclaiming it as long as I tarry. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus. You know, Ronan, when you was up here singing, I was sitting there enjoying myself. But I saw you enjoying it. You know, you remember when you were singing about my blessing. I'm sitting there and I'm looking. See, you know, your daddy was my best friend. Y'all, everybody know that, right? I was remembering seeing how you were going on for the Lord. But I remember my friend put his big hand on me. Called me to the side. Ricks. Yeah, Brother John. Take care of my son. What you mean? That man older, I mean, he bigger than me. I knew what he was talking about. Then I did my little spiel. He's serious. Your daddy was serious about that. I did my little spirit. I knew he was coming. Then I got silent with him. He said, you know what I'm talking about? I said, no. He said, that's my knee baby. He ever call you that? Did he ever call you that? Okay, now I know what I'm talking about. He said, Rich, yes, he can go wherever you want to go. He can pick any church he want. Yes, sir, I don't understand that. But I don't know everybody else. That's my knee, baby. But I know you, Riggs. And I trust you. I know what you're going to give him. Take care. He's talking about spiritually. You know, you do a good job taking care of your family and all of that. But your dad, then I'm seeing you up here. That's part of taking care of you. Giving you a mic that you can sing. Huh? Having a classroom where he can teach. I break it down to you. Spiritually, what he was talking. Let's get back. We don't want to get real in here. But look at this here. But the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, you're doing your running. There's a lot of people still running from the Lord, and the lost is running from the Lord. They're lost. He said, I'm not seeking to save the righteous. Because the righteous need not a doctor. I'm looking for those who are sick. So I can be the great physician. Y'all ain't with me. Let me move on. Look at 1 Timothy 2. Because Lord have mercy. I just like the word. I hope I ain't boring nobody. But I get wrapped up in this word like newbie get wrapped up in music. That's his call. This is mine. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4 says, who is God our Savior who desires all men to be what? Saved and to come to the knowledge of the what? Of the truth. If you're ever going to be set free, you got to get some truth in.
That's right.
I mean, wait a minute. I'm down there having a good time down at the air station. And I wouldn't go to church. You had to come on a job and get me. He said, yeah, you won't come to church. He said, I didn't say, see, because some, watch this. Oh, this is so beautiful. Then he says he was seeking the laws, right? So it wasn't no big thing when I said, I won't in church. He was not looking for the laws in the local assembly. It didn't bother him that the lost didn't go to church. He wanted to get them saved. And once he get them saved and that Holy Spirit come and take up residence, he'll begin to teach them that you need to be baptized. He'll begin to teach them that you need to be accountable. He will teach them you need an overseer. He would teach them the things you need to know after he saved you. He said, I'm looking for the lost. I don't have to go to the church. I go to the streets. I go to the crack house. I go to Skid Row. I go where the lost are because that's who I'm seeking. You say, why they can't shut your pastor? Because he stopped my running. He stopped me in my tracks, y'all. He caught me. He caught me. Watch this. And see, I didn't know. See, sometimes you can be too smart for your own good. But watch this, y'all. He caught me who with the head of the house. And guess what the spiritual trickle-down effect was? When I got saved, Bro Ronan, he ended up saving my whole house. My wife and all of my sons. Household salvation. He caught me. Is he looking for you? Let him catch you. I guarantee you, you won't regret it. Anybody can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? The day he caught you, do you regret it today? I don't know how long it was. I can't go back to your time. I don't know. All I know what you told me. But I know when it caught me, I ain't been the same since. And you're going to tell me, tell him shut up. See, you telling him shut up because you don't know what he did. You didn't see what I saw. You was not there. Let me move on. The next thing, why you're not going to shut me up? Not only did he stop me in my track, not only did he follow, hunted me down. The guy ain't gonna go to church, so I go get him on a job. Christ put my sin or our sins on himself on that cross. And watch this. I'm gonna give you another little piece. And he took the wrath of God off of me and put it on himself. Let's go to John 3. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about, y'all. Whew. Anybody loving on this word? Okay. See, it's one thing for somebody to say a lot, but you can't back nothing up with scripture. No. Don't leave out here and say what pastor said. Say what the word of God said. Is that right? Is that all right? Say what Jesus said. Okay. All right. What did I tell you, go? Did I tell you John 3? Okay, yeah. Y'all know 15 and 16 and all that, right? But see, I want to come on down. I mean, y'all can read all of that. But I want to come on down to 35 and 36. I want to show you something. You know, you got 16 up there and you got 15 and, you know, he be lifted up and all of that. But God so loved the world. But I'm going to tell you something. You also need to come to the bottom of this chapter, not just John 3:16. But the effects of John 16 is shown up right here in 35 and 36. Anybody with me? Watch this. Now this is where John the Baptist come in and begin to speak, who is a forerunner of Jesus Christ that is believed. Verse 35 said, the Father loves the Son. See, he said it in 3:16, didn't he? The Father loved the Son and has given all things into his hands. See, that's why I want to talk about Jesus. That's why I love him, because he got everything in his hand, Curtis. Anything I need, Jesus got it. I don't need me going to God and bypassing Christ, because the Father gave him everything. If you give your son, Deshaun, all your money, ain't no need me coming to you, because you ain't got no money. You gave it to him. I'm going to who you gave the money to. Watch this. He who believed, that's your prerequisite. When he caught me, I was an unbeliever. But when he talked to me, he convinced me to believe. I went from an unbeliever to this believer. Now watch this. He who believes in the Son. Well, don't come knocking on my door, talking about no Jehovah Witness. Don't do me like that. Who believe in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not, see, everybody's not going to believe. But there are consequences, positive with you being a believer, and there are negative consequences with you saying, well, you know, that's well and good, but I think I'm okay like I am. I got news for you. Wake up, you are not okay. I'm telling you from personal experience. And let me tell you something else, too. When the pastor preached to you and talked to you, I'm gonna give you another little nugget out. Realize that's the same guy that preached all them funerals. He's the guy who, when somebody died, that's the guy who preached those funerals. He deals with the other side. He's commissioned for the other side. That's the guy that does. So when I'm listening, not just listen to Joe Blow. This is the guy that deals with death and eternal life. He's an ambassador for Christ. He's an overseer. He's a bishop. He's a shepherd. He's feeding you. He only doing what he's supposed to do. Also, he's the guy, when I listen to him, that guy got to give an account. That guy's a watchman for my soul. See, so it's down his alley. Anybody with me? I'm only saying this that I can get your attention. It's not down everybody's alley. Everybody don't have the same assignment. I'm just talking scripture. Okay, let me go back. Now y'all doing fine. Stay right here, man. Don't move. Okay. He says, the Son shall, it's believed, the Son shall not see what? Life. He that does not see the Son shall not see life. Watch this. Here I go. But the wrath of God abides on him. You know what God is saying? Listen. He said, you can assign to not receive Christ. But something is remaining on you. You know when a person find out that they have cancer, all right? And most of the time when you find out, you want to find out in time. So you don't want to find out you got stage 4. Because then if they cut on you, you want them to remove all of it. Anybody walk with me a little bit. You want them to remove all of it. Because you know if any part of it remains or abides, it can do damage. It can bring death. Am I right about it? So if you're going to operate on me, get it all done. Then you ask, did you get it all? Did the MRI, did you go deep enough to see that you got it all? Because if you leave any of it, it terrorizes me because I know the damage it can do. But do you know the damage that the wrath of God can do? Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You say, get it all, Lord. Get all that wrath off of me. You see, watch this, y'all. See that, look, that little cancer? It only can destroy the body. But the wrath of God destroys the soul. What profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? Don't fear him that just can do a little something with the body that God permit. But God said, I won't permit him to do anything with the soul. So here's the catch. When he caught me, you know, y'all heard my story. This what was on me, the wrath of God. And not like some people say, I'm a fight. I'm dating myself now. Put a chip on your shoulder. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You knock it off, knock that chip off. That'll wake y'all up a little bit. But here's the guy, no matter how rich you are, no matter how intelligent you are, you are walking around with the wrath of God on you. And watch this. You can't go to no doctor to get it cut out. See, because you go to the doctor, he can't even see it. See, because he deals with the physical. Some deal with the mental, the brain. But God deals with the spiritual. There's a spiritual wrath of God. John the Baptist is telling us. See, when Jesus caught me, you know, so I was running. And he caught me as I grew in the word of God. See, Brother Campbell, when he caught me, I didn't know all of this because I didn't know the Bible. You know, I didn't know all of this. But this was, now I got to have this. I'm going to give you some. Open that book for me. If I won't open it, you open it. Then I found out later that disease I had, he cut it out. Look at 36, y'all. He says, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So you can say, well, I'm going to take my chances. You are taking your chances with spiritual cancer called the wrath of God. And nobody can get it off but Jesus Christ. You tell me don't praise him? Christ put my sins on himself. He took the wrath of God on his own body. He satisfied the wrath of God. Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation. My verdict was guilty one time. See, as long as I had this, every sin I had to pay for. But when God took this, he said, not guilty. Yeah, you did it, but you're not guilty. How can you do that? Romans 5:1. He said, I justify you. There's peace with God now. God want to do spiritual surgery, but you won't let him. But I was running, he caught me. He turned me around. I'm here today because I have a personal experience with the mighty works of God. So I cry as the disciples cry, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Not out of form or fashion, because I know the great work he did on me. I mean, come on off. He put a stop to my running. Watch this, y'all. Watch this. He put his sins on himself. He took the wrath of God, God's anger. He took it away. But not only that, he put my name in the book of life. There is a register, a spiritual register with my name on it. Y'all ain't with me. Revelations 20:15, the back of your book. Last book in the Bible, easy to find. And I'm going to come on off. Y'all been good. I hope I didn't bore you with the word. Are you with me? Look at it. Y'all can read the whole thing, but for my message, I want you to see this. You know, this dealing with the great white throne judgment. Someday, payday. You can slip and hide and smirk and do whatever you want, but someday you're going to face him. And I want to cut out that cancer before you face him. Watch this. Then death and Hades, verse 14, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You notice in the gospel, we're talking about life, eternal life, John is speaking about. But the consequences of not letting God catch you and remove the wrath of God, the consequence is the lake of fire. That's the final hell. See, watch this. And anyone not found written in the book of life, there it is, life or death, you choose, was cast into the lake of fire. So, my friend, when someone who don't know what my Savior have done for me tell me to shut up and be silent, stop praising Jesus, that will never happen as long as I have breath in my body. Because I know too much about him. I know too much about him from this book. And over 30 some years when he caught me, I've been studying this. Went to school studying the word of God. Still studying the word of God. TV. I know too. You knock on my door if you want to, I'm going to get you saved. See, I promote Christ. I lift him up. I'm trying to find me a prop. Y'all know Pastor. I'm looking for a pen now. There you go. Oh, you got a pen. All right, I ain't going to keep it closed. I'm not going to write in my Bible. Now I'm going to give it back to you. You just saw See, you know, and it's all right. Whenever you're talking to me, I want to know what's in it for me. Let's get honest. Yeah. Let's get honest. You don't have to be pious and all that. What's in it for me? I told you a lot of stuff from your Bible that's in it for you. But that last Revelation 15. See, there's a lot of folk, Brother Alvin, think their good works and who they were, they're going to stand before God and they're going to get in. But look what we just saw in 15. See, when he caught me, y'all, my little illustration, and he saved me, Sister Jackie, he took out his spiritual ink pen and he opened up the book of life and he wrote my name in the Lamb's book of life. So when you stand there, he said, let me open up the register. You made a whole hotel reservation. Well, we got the Super Bowl in the area, and I believe we're full, but you sure? You made your reservation for the Super Bowl. You know, thousands of folk in town today. But what I will do, I will look on the register. When I look on the register and I don't see your name, you don't get a room in the hotel for the Super Bowl. but he don't see your name in the Lamb book of life, you don't get a room or a mansion in heaven. In my Father's house, really there are many rooms, many mansions. If it was not so, I would not have told you, but I want to know, have you registered? If you have not, why don't you come? Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come, he's calling, and get signed up? There's still room at the cross for you. He said, in my Father's house, there are many of rooms, apartment, mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Can you see Christ going to your room in glory and making it up, making the bed, straightening up the lamp? There ain't no lamps because he's light. But why don't you come? See, let me tell you something. Learn something about your pastor. I don't care if you have joined the Berean. I want your soul to be saved. And now you're shamed because you said you were. But you may have never heard it this wise. You may have never. Because I know I've heard a lot of junk, a lot of stuff, religious stuff, didn't pay no mind. But when I got clarity, I said, now, I don't consider myself an ignorant person. I understand that. And out of one of the times when you don't want to play ignorant is this time. Because you play ignorant on this one, you playing with your soul. Now, if any time I'm going to smarten up and say, yeah, I got it. I see what he say do. It's going to be this time. Wife ain't going to get in that box with you. Husband ain't going to get in. They going to cry. They going to boo-hoo. But they're going to lower you down by yourself. Why don't you go with Jesus? Pastor, you're begging for my soul? Yes. I'm beseeching you. These people don't have a heaven or a hell. And you don't know where some of them at. You remember they old somebody, don't say nothing, keep quiet. We just read that, didn't we? You about to say, Hosanna. Save me right now. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Why don't you get up and sign up? Let your name today be placed in the book of life. So when he opened it, over 30-some years ago, mine was written. It was not written until he caught me and saved me. I'm through. Reverend Jones, if you will come and close for the pastor. I'm through. I love you guys.